Welcome to the Middle Church Podcast, a multicultural, multi-ethnic, intergenerational movement of spirit and justice, powered by revolutionary love with room for everyone. No matter where you are, how you look, or who you love, we pray this podcast will help you on your journey. Here's this week's worship celebration.
I'm Jackie Lewis. I'm the senior minister of Middle Collegiate Church. My pronouns are she, her, hers. Gung Hei Fa Choi, it's Chinese New Year, the year of the wooden dragon, and we're glad you're here. How many of you are here for the very first time? I'm going to ask you to leave your hands up because we're looking for volunteer preachers. So keep them up, keep them up. No, we have a card for you. She's like, no, I'm not putting my hand back up. Where are you from, love? Right down the street, amen, amen. Where are you from? Brooklyn in the house. We're gonna get a card up to you too, Brooklyn, we're excited. Anybody else? We could Brooklyn? Was somebody else back here? I can't see. Somebody else here? Okay, hi, where are you from?
I'm from the East Village.
East Village, woohoo! We're so glad you're here, and we're so glad you are all here. We are who we are because you are here. How about you? How are you doing online? We're glad you're here as well. Thank you for making this an event for yourself and for us today. We are in Black History Month, and we are at Lunar New Year, and only Middle Church does Lunar New Year and Black History Month on the same day, at the same time. You talk about intersectionality, right? That's what we're doing. Let me tell you a couple of things that are happening around the way. You have in your Gloria Moy, who is one of our lovely members, and we've grown up together at Middle Church. Gloria, wave a hand. Yeah. Gloria is responsible for the red envelope in your bulletin. And Joy Lau is responsible for the favor. Is that what I would call that, Joy? She's downstairs. Yeah, so we can hang this on our tree. The red envelopes at Chinese New Year, Lunar New Year, are about generosity. So you can use your red envelope to make a donation to Middle Church. And when you make a donation today, that money that's in the red envelope will help to support the work that we're doing with our new neighbors in the dinners that we're doing with Easton Temple. You tracking with me? Okay, so we'll make a donation to that, which will make the food even more better, even more amazing. Maybe they'll even have sirloin steak. I don't know, Danita, but okay? So please use that for the special mission to help support our families and our immigrant feeding that we're doing. Everybody know what I mean? And you're good to do that, okay. Secondly, today, we are blessed to have in the pulpit, again with our intersectionality, all of our Asian siblings don't celebrate Lunar New Year, but we always do with whom shall ever. So today, Chad Tanaka Pak, who is not Chinese, is preaching. Yay! Chad is a longtime member of Middle Church who started coming to church on a Wednesday night in an art and soul program, young adult, working, banking, caught the Holy Spirit, joined the church, went to seminary, graduated from Yale, still doing amazing ministry. That's a story I love to tell. Welcome home, Chad. After worship today, we are gonna have an amazing conversation, though our technology is shaky, with Anjanou Ellis Taylor, who is a Middle community member and the star of the new movie Origin, and also one of the, yep. We're rolling like that, okay? She will be in the interwebs with us, so she'll be on Zoom talking with me and Reverend Natalie right after worship. So we'll benedict and we'll sit and have a conversation. How many of you saw Origin? Wasn't it hot, amazing, wow? I saw it three times. I told Anjanou, I saw it three times. She said, this is how she talks. Didn't nobody tell you to see it three times? But I did, and it was amazing. So We'll be doing that right after worship. And there's a wonderful young adult program. Our Young Adult Leadership Lab is restarting. It will be a kind of gathering next Sunday the 18th in the 10 o'clock hour downstairs here, so you can get to know the program, so you can get to know each other. I want to invite you, if you're curious about it and you're in your 20s, 30s, to come and bring a friend. We have had amazing cohorts of the Young Adult Leadership Lab. Some of them got married, some of them went to work for Obama, some of them work in charities, some of them run your church right now. Hello. So come on. Danita went through the, I'm kidding. Danita went through the class last week. Danita, I love her. So that's what we're going to do. Take a breath with me. I'm talking fast because I'm very excited to see you. And we will get ready for our opening hymn. Now, I need you to help us with technology by not being on the internet right now. Right? Let's. I know you want to. Take your picture, save it. But if you're on the internet, that will weaken the bandwidth, and we're already having weak bandwidth. So don't be sneaky. I'm seeing you. Okay. All right. Let us worship God.
Her pronouns, and this is a message for all ages. On this very special day, at the beginning of the Lunar New Year, I would like to talk with you about something I love. Here's the love part. There's the love. And there are the noodles, the things I love. How many of you love noodles? Raise your hands if you do. Yes, I want to talk to you a little bit about these noodles now. So some people think that they came from Italy, but more people think that they came from China. And then from China, as you saw before, they spread all around Asia. Look at how big Asia is. Look at how many areas it has and how much of the world it covers. Wow, that's something. You're all eating noodles. still are. And from there, the noodles spread to Europe, to the Americas, to Africa. And so it's fair to say that most cultures, many cultures in the world, have their noodles and enjoy them. And next time you eat noodles, think about that. Think about everyone sharing them and how they came from China. On Lunar New Year, we like to eat long noodles. So here is a recipe I'd like to share that you can all make together, you and your friends, your family, your siblings. And it's from the Kids Multicultural Cookbook by Deanna Cook, which is a great name for a cookbook writer when you think about it. You have 2 tablespoons of peanut butter, or if you have allergies, sesame paste or sun butter. 3 tablespoons, sorry about that, soy sauce or tamari, liquid aminos. You're starting to see a pattern here. You can mix things up and substitute them. For sweetener, you might want to try a little honey. This is not product placement. Or maple syrup, if you are vegans or anyone you're eating with are vegans. You could use agave syrup too. And you need 1/4 cup of hot water to mix everything up. So mix up the peanut butter and the soy sauce and the sweetener and the water, get it all nice and smooth. And then here are the noodles, add them to the noodles and you have, voila, beautiful peanut noodles or whatever noodles they are. Thank you, Middle Valley. And have a happy, happy Gung Hei Fa Choi.
Gosh, I wish I knew how to sing Sia Hamba in Mandarin, but I don't. But here we go. Gloria Moy, offering our morning prayer.
I got my tissues handy, just in case. Oh man, look at, you should see the view from here. It's amazing. Okay, let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for gathering us here today to celebrate the Lunar New Year, the year of the wooden dragon. And as we celebrate, we remember our ancestors, the sacrifices they made, the lives lost, and the ways they struggled, so that we, my AAPI siblings, can be included in the culture and have a seat at the table. It has been a long time coming, and we thank you. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, 3 years post-COVID, and we are still dealing with xenophobia and anti-Asian hate, though not as blatant as it was in 2020 and barely reported by the media. We're exhausted in the face of such hate and ignorance. Please continue to help us to rise against hate and give us the strength to meet hate with love. Amen. The advances of the AAPI community are hard-earned. This is the first year in New York State that Lunar New Year is a holiday, a real holiday. May we continue to make strides for equality and continue the fight until all are included, not just here, but in government. Even though the AAPI community showed up to vote in huge numbers, we are still often not included in government statistics. Help us to not stay silent and continue the fight until we are counted. God, we are grateful that we can bring to this multicultural space those things that weigh on our hearts, our cares and our concerns, and we ask that you hear our prayers. God, we love you and we thank you for all that you are doing in our lives, and we pray for all these things in your holy name. Amen.
Gloria and I would invite you now to stand if you're able and desire and pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Pray it in the way you know it. Pray it in your native language. It doesn't matter if there are debts or trespasses in this place. Probably both, right? Let us pray. Ever-loving and holy God, hallowed be your name. Your reign come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the reign. Before we share a sign of God's peace, I wonder if you could take a picture for me, meaning let me see where you're sitting. Let the usher see where you're sitting. Can you sit down? Okay. And we've got just a few more people trying to get in. So if you have a coat on the chair, seat and you can hold it, so we just scooch in a little bit that you feel safe so they can see where the holes are. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm so grateful. Yep, go this way a little bit. We have one right here. Scoonching. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Yep, come on, baby. But we gotta let him sit, John. Let's sit. Okay. Good? Hi, daddy.
You got one up here.
Okay, we good? Right here? All right. Okay, thank you all. Okay. Now. Space and peace is a gift that we can share with one another. If you will please share a sign of God's peace with your neighbor, the peace of God be with you. Peace be with you, Gloria.
Things is how you all show up in that space. Shout out to Tanya Evans, who posted a wonderful resource there for how she is exploring our theme, Black Always. Check it out. Also, do you have your book for our Baldwin Linton study? Shout out in the comments if you'll be joining me starting February 18th. I am very much looking forward to reading with all of you. And if you plan to stay after worship today for the conversation with Anjanou Ellis, write in the chat questions you'd like us to ask her. Ash Wednesday is this week. You can join Reverend Ben and I in Pray to Rise or Reverends Jackie and Amanda outside of Middle. Details are in the calendar. And there's another Lenten journey through poetry and visual art starting February 25th for 3 Sundays. You can find the details again in the event calendar and sign up. Lastly, for conference this year, we have partnered with Candler to plan a special digital conference so that those of you who cannot attend in person will receive a unique, holistic experience. Have you purchased your tickets yet? That's all for now. Blessings on your week, fam. Let's get back into worship.
Kids at.
Isn't it great?
Yeah.
Shine in me.
Amen. I was looking at the bulletin and I was like, what Saquettes? What are the Saquettes? The Saquettes. Our scripture reading comes from the Gospel according to Mark. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And Jesus was transfigured before them, and Jesus' clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared with them to them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Peter did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, hello, Middle Church. Gung Hee Fa Choi. Happy Lunar New Year. It is so good to be with you in person. People ask if I miss New York, and to my surprise, I don't. I lived for over 25 years of my life in this city, and so its energy, the city's people, its architecture and its art, it has become a part of who I am. It's something deeply spiritual. I am never without New York City, if that makes sense. I feel the same way, of course, about Middle. I miss being with you on Sundays as I was in 2006 when I joined the church, the first church I ever joined in my life. In 2007 when I started seminary, in 2010 when after seminary I joined the staff. In 2017, when I was ordained in the Reformed Church in America as the and the applause is because I was the first openly gay and married person in the denomination. Yes, we did this together. I'm applauding for us all because it was a group effort. Thank you. And of course, in 2019, when I came back on staff for a few months, and then I transferred my ordination status to the United Church of Christ.
Yes.
Yes. Middle Collegiate Church, you all, even if we haven't met yet, are part of who I am. It is deeply spiritual. I am never without you. Middle is with me when I serve part-time as an assistant minister at First Congregational Church of Los Angeles. Middle is with me at my full-time job as controller at Inner City Law Center. Inner City Law Center is a nonprofit legal services organization that serves people experiencing homelessness. Our offices are in downtown Los Angeles in Skid Row, in a 4-square-mile neighborhood that is Skid Row. There are over 4,400 people who are experiencing homelessness, and most of them are living in their cars or on the streets. At ICLC, I'm not limiting myself to debits and credits, although I love debits and credits. I've helped form an unofficial affinity group for staff who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, queer, plus. We actually have a lot of people in the plus, dot, dot, dot. In November, we held a lunchtime discussion about the challenges of being LGBTQ and going home for the holidays. And I believe that idea came from something we did here at Middle many years ago. And at ICLC, I've helped start the book club. In January, we started reading Isabel Wilkerson's Caste, The Origins of Our Discontent. So, we picked the book back in October, way before any of us knew that Ava DuVernay was creating a film based on the book called Origin. Several of us had bought the book back in 2020, after the murders of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery, among others. But we didn't get around to reading the book. It sat on the bottom bookshelf or in a moving box, mostly forgotten, until now. In the book Caste, Wilkerson compares the US with India and with 20th century Nazi Germany to help us see that US society is a caste system, a not talked about, not pointed out system of ranking people in groups, a system of assigning people to social roles based on which group they belong to, and a system of defining who belongs to which group, so that some people get more money, more land, more power, at the cost of other people's lives. For me, as an Asian American, seeing US society as a caste system is helpful for several reasons. Here are two. This list is not complete because I'm still reading the book. First, caste helps us focus on structural racism. Racism is a big, you all know this, it's a big, complex topic. Under the umbrella of racism, we could talk about interpersonal racism, like microaggressions. We could talk about institutional racism, like governmental policies. Caste is about structural racism. Wilkerson writes that caste is the worn grooves of comforting routines and unthinking expectations, patterns of a social order that have been in place so long that it looks like the natural order of things. Under the umbrella of racism, if we only look at microaggressions, if we only look at governmental policies, then we can miss seeing the hidden structures of caste. That's one. Second, caste helps us name racial differences without engaging in hierarchies of oppression. Are you familiar with the term hierarchies of oppression? Sometimes it's called the oppression Olympics. We create hierarchies of oppression when we try to argue, for example, that a black lesbian woman is more oppressed than a white straight woman. Hierarchies of oppression are a no-no because suggesting that a black lesbian woman is more oppressed than a white straight woman can make it harder for women to work together for justice. But a caste system, by definition, is ranked. Different groups have different experiences. So caste helps us name that in the US, black people are undervalued and their lives are put at risk in a uniquely evil way. It can do that. Caste allows us to name the uniqueness of anti-black racism without playing the oppression Olympics. And in so doing, caste creates a space for non-black, non-white people like me to grieve anti-black violence without feeling threatened that our experiences as people of Asian, Pacific Islander, Latino, Native American descent are being left out. Unfortunately, in caste, No one is left out. In the book club at work, we are attorneys and we're I don't know if any of them are online. If you are, hello. We are attorneys and program staff and one accountant. We meet on Zoom during lunchtime. Last week, we discussed part two in which Wilkerson defines caste and shares stories about people hurt by the caste system. Early in our discussion, some pressing questions came up. How do we solve this? What's the answer? What can we do to change the system? None of us had read the whole book, so we didn't know how Isabel Wilkerson would answer these questions. When faced with a problem as large as caste in the US, often people want to jump ahead to answers. By focusing on solutions, people can avoid sitting with the heaviness of the problem. Knowing this, thanks to learning at Middle, I shared with the group an answer, an off-the-cuff, band-aid sort of answer that could offer just enough hope to calm the questions that were distracting us from looking more deeply at the evils of caste. My off-the-cuff answer was that the way to solve our social evils is by changing hearts and minds. By changing hearts and minds. What has helped me see this clearly is the 1896 US Supreme Court decision, Plessy versus Ferguson. That decision declared that state laws segregating black and white Americans in public spaces, Jim Crow laws, were not a violation of the US Constitution. In other words, Jim Crow laws were legal. In the majority opinion, Justice Henry Billings Brown argued that the case came down to whether the Jim Crow law in Louisiana was reasonable. Nothing about equal protection of the laws, simply whether the law was reasonable. And in determining reasonableness, Brown wrote, the Louisiana legislature was free to consider the established usages, customs, and traditions of the people. This was based less on what the 14th Amendment said and more on the customs and traditions of the people. And when Brown wrote people, we know who he meant. I believe that the way to change our social evils is by changing the customs and traditions of the people. And we change the traditions and customs of the people by changing hearts and minds. Our scripture reading is about changing hearts and minds. Jesus leads Peter and James and John up a high mountain where Jesus' physical appearance is completely transformed. His clothes become shining white, transfiguration. This biblical scene reminds me of the end of August Wilson's Joe Turner's Come and Gone. Do you all know this play? At the end, the main character, Loomis, is shining, shining like new money. And as August Wilson describes in a stage note, in this moment, Loomis has found his song, the song of self-sufficiency, fully resurrected, cleansed and given breath, free from any encumbrance other than the workings of his own heart and the bonds of the flesh. Transfiguration opens up an in-between space between heaven and earth, between freedom and flesh, between divine and human. High on the mountain, Jesus is revealed to Peter and James and John as between heaven and earth, divinely human and humanly divine. After that moment of transfiguration, Jesus leads Peter and James and John down the mountain to continue their earthly ministries of teaching and healing and feeding and praying. Jesus tells them to tell no one about what they had just seen until after the Son of Man has risen from the dead. Well, imagine what Peter and James and John were thinking. Son of Man? Wait, is Jesus the... Is that what all that shininess was about? Wait, rise from the dead? Does that mean that Jesus... Wait, we just had the most amazing experience, probably the closest we'll ever get to heaven without actually dying, and Jesus wants us to keep it a secret? After coming down the mountain, Peter and James and John may not have talked about what they had seen, but imagine how Jesus' transfiguration transfigured them. Imagine how Jesus' shininess made them shine. As they went around tending to the sick, how might the light in their eyes have brightened? As they went around feeding the hungry, how might the expanse of their shoulders have widened? As they prayed for the poor, how might the touch of their hands have strengthened? Their clothes may not have been shiny white, but imagine how their changed selves then changed others. As you go about your life, as you continue your earthly ministries, now and then you will find that an in-between space has somehow opened up. Maybe not on a mountaintop with a shiny, bedazzled Jesus, but some kind of in-between space where the line between heaven and earth is less clear. Or put another way, where the connection between the divine and human is closer. Allow that moment to change you. Whether you tell someone about it or keep it a secret, allow that moment to change you. Feel that change in your heart. Feel that change in your mind. Feel that change in your body, in your eyes, in your shoulders, in your hands. You have witnessed the truth of the universe, which is divine love. When you feel overwhelmed by the problems of society and how those social problems have become your personal problems, remember the truth of the universe. Remember divine love. It is a part of you. You are never without divine love. It's deeply spiritual. Divine love is changing your heart and your mind. And through the power of divine love, you and I will continue to change hearts and minds until caste is no more, until racism is no more, until divisions are no more, until all there is love. 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 May it be so.
Chad, thank you. That was beautiful. So my name is Jackie, and yeah, I work here. Part-time, I have a little part-time job here. But John and I are also members of Middle Church. And with that hat on, I invite you to join this movement. I have a friend who has teased me and said, it's kind of arrogant to say that you're a movement. Maybe a little bit. But I think it's also divine truth that we are part of something that's bigger than what's inside these four walls. We are part of something that is ubiquitous, shining light, transformative glory, wisdom. We are part of something that is beyond denomination, part of something beyond Reformed Church in America or UCC, part of something that's beyond Christian, part of something that is love, 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 period. When everything else is commentary, how will we love? How shall we love? What color will be our love? How bedazzled will be our love? How much hope can we offer with our hands? How much can the work we do rewire the cells of the people around us? We are part of God's moving through the world. And I think if that's arrogant, come through. I am part of something that God is doing. Thanks be to God. With humility, I lean in to see if there will be wind in my hair. I lean in to find out who will touch my soul, which puppets made of socks, which children who used to be little and are now not, which guitar, piano, which ballet move, curve of arm, in which street shall we be transformed? How will we move the world? Because we're part of a movement, because God is moving. So God is on the move. And I'm inviting you to consider your part in that transformative, world-altering work. So if you've been dating Middle Church and thinking, I don't know if I want to hook up for real. Oh, come on, hook up for real. It's easy to join us. You can go to middlechurch.org/join, and all you do is say, I want to be a part of this. When Jesus was recruiting disciples, they didn't have to take free classes and say a creed. So when you say you belong, you belong. So say you belong. And then come hang out with us in the new member gathering and learn about you, and you'll learn about us, and we'll be more connected. That's a way to be a part of what God is moving. The other way to be a part of what God is moving is if you don't sign it on the dotted line, or just keep coming and keep bringing your unique particularity to this space, because you change the wind when you sit where you sit, on the pew where you sit, with your smile and your hopes and your tears and your prickly bits and your superpowers. So keep coming. Come to the thing, come to the class, come to the doom, sing the da, 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 get involved. Get involved. I talked to a new member today. Her name is Donna. She said, I can't wait to get on some committees. I was like, girl, that's super good news. Come get on those committees. And finally, it is true that we are in a mishkan. We are in a temporary place, and we are building a permanent one. And we're doing it fiduciarily responsible. Did I get that said right? We're doing it with conservation. We're doing that with smartness. We're doing it in two steps. But our campaign to rebuild is about building the building and also building the movement, growing the movement, making sure we have technology that works, right, my team? Hello, hallelujah, and people to do the things. And so we could use your financial support. So when you see the offering bag go by, or you see the QR code, or you know how to do it, Venmo, Zelle, all the things, feel free to know that your donations to us make God's movement move. Amen. You are the movement. Let's do this thing. Thank you.
Hundreds of them, but we have one child who joined us recently, Louis Bengtson, and he's off seeing his grandmother in Ohio. But he's so active, and I said, I want to have a way to put you in the choir even though you're not here. So Louis is starting for us on screen, and then we're going to come in.
One day.
promise of one day, for being on the move with you, for your spirit moving in and through us, for the voices of children and teenagers, for sermons so well preached, prayers, even the silent ones being heard by you. We give you thanks. We ask that you would bless these gifts to this ministry and to your service, that we might be faithful as we seek to transform the world. This is our prayer in the name of the carpenter who called us into ministry. Amen. Remain standing for just a moment for the benediction, but first a quick word from our sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Greetings. Hello. Happy Lunar New Year. Happy Black History Month. You all may know me. I'm Ivan Christopher. I was up here a few weeks ago with some songs. We have some music coming out this coming Friday. Ivan Christopher in Greater Glory. Please check us out. And we have a fundraising concert that'll be Wednesday, February 21st at Brooklyn Art House, 7:30 p.m. There'll be in-person and streaming options. The proceeds are going to Middle Collegiate Church. As you all know, it is my spiritual home. It is a place that is welcoming, artistic, inclusive, and bold. It is bold. It is also Black History Month, and as you may know, this year the focus is on Black arts. And I'm a Black artist, so come support Black art. Come support a wonderful place that supports Black artists and supports all the people and all the colors of the rainbow.
Amen.
And thank you so much.
Thank God bless you. I love a place that does Lunar New Year and Black History Month at the same moment. I love the intersectionality and beauty of this place. I love you so much. Congregation that lets me be your pastor. So listen, Chad's words will ring in my heart all week. We change hearts and minds. We change the world. We change hearts and minds because our hearts and minds are changed, and we change the world. The world needs changing, and we're the ones we've been waiting for. So let us lean into our calling, lean into the gifts that we have. Don't be shy about sparkling and shining and making a difference. Let's go in the world, fish for some people. Let's go in the world, hook it up. Let's go in the world, preach the gospel. Let's go in the world, feed the people. Let's go in the world, stop the racism. Let's go in the world, make some peace everywhere. Let's go in the world, demand peace. Let's go in the world, demand love. Let's go in the world, dancing. Dancing with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now.
Thanks for listening, friends. To learn more about Middle Church, visit middlechurch.org. You can help grow this movement of love and justice by rating us on Apple or Spotify and by sharing this episode with a friend or two. Send us an email at info@middlechurch.org if you have any questions or comments. We hope you'll come back next week. Bye for now.